This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let me share with you what I have gathered about the state of affairs for the self-storage industry midway through 2025. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy. Houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out about what I offer and how I can support you at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. A lot of free training there, like what you're watching now, and look at some of the courses. But we're halfway through the year 2025, and I've been reading the Yardi Matrix mid-year report. I've been reading the mid-year report from a lot of the REITs to their shareholders, information from Radius Plus and from brokerage companies, as well as my own observations banging around out in the space this year so far. So let me share with you at least my takeaway of where the industry is midway through 2025. Now, before we dive in, my coaching is take everything you read in these reports or what other pundits like myself tell you with a grain of salt. A lot depends on how the data is gathered. So you'll hear a lot of numbers and a lot of statistics. What you won't hear is what makes those numbers up and what makes those statistics up. You know, Yardi, for example, reflects, you know, they have access to operational information from about 34,000 storage facilities across the country, which is a little more than half of what's out there. So it reveals trends, not absolutes. Some of the brokerage companies, for example, that will report on occupancy levels in particular markets don't include the properties that are in lease up. So that can change the picture quite a bit if you get a stat showing you what occupancy is in a particular market, but it's not including properties that are newly constructed or in lease up. Reality can be a far cry from what's on that page. And let's not forget, storage is extremely local. What's going on in a state, in the country, in a region, even in a city is interesting, but what's going on supply demand wise in that trade area, that 3 to 5 mile or whatever the trade area is, and the sophistication of the competitors you're competing with, that determines everything. I've owned facilities or in quote declining markets where we're raising our rents 3 to 5%, and I've vice versa. Why? Because what's going on in that trade area. And perhaps the best way to like go at this today might be to go by regions. So let's start with my favorite region, the Southeast. Now, this region saw a lot of migration over the past 10 to 15 years, particularly during the pandemic. That migration, along with somewhat of an ease in many markets for development approval, brought forth lots of product, lots of supply, lots of people focused on the Southeast. So many markets were overbuilt. And as a result, the Southeast really, from what I can see, has the highest per capita just about anywhere in the country. Rental rates have dipped slightly since the beginning of 2025, about 0.5%. However, some areas towards the end of the second quarter began to see a pickup in rents, but not in every market. From April to May in 2025, Atlanta dropped 0.7%, and Atlanta market is down 1% over same time last year. But many areas, particularly in the secondary market, saw an increase in rents from the beginning of 2025 till the end of May. And nowhere in the country is there a region that's being hit harder with insurance costs. Insurance costs are going up exponentially in many areas in the Southeast. So with the, you know, flat or declining rental rates, increased operating expenses, many NOIs in the Southeast are taking a hit. But there's still a lot of interest in the Southeast from buyers. And deals aren't always easy to make because many of the sellers have 2019, 2020 values in their sights. And most buyers today are underwriting with 2025 realities in mind. So deals are not always easy to get. Now, in the Southwest, this region's heating up. Many players who focused on the Southeast now have turned their sights to the Southwest, and people in California have had their sights on the Southwest, particularly Arizona and Texas, for a number of years. Now, inventory in the Southwest has risen, but rental rates are holding better than they are in the Southeast. You know, Austin, for example, between quarter one and quarter two of this year went up 1.5% on asking rental rates. Most major markets in the Southwest are up with the exception of Las Vegas, which is down almost 0.8%. Cap rates seem to be more stable in the Southwest than the Southeast, and incomes on average, median incomes in the Southwest tend to be a little higher. Demand and values are fairly steady. Average rental rates are higher in this region than the Southeast. For example, in Phoenix, the average rental rate's $15.69 compared to Atlanta's $13.96. Average income is higher. Educational levels are higher, but there tends to be higher construction costs in the Southwest. Many of the larger markets, in Phoenix, for example, every project I've looked at, I've had to price in the cost of putting up an opaque wall. And some of the impact reports in the Phoenix market can be expensive. So on average, construction costs tend to be a little higher in the Southwest as well. And those higher construction costs, along with higher interest rates, have slowed new inventory hitting the market, which can be a good thing for us smaller investors. Now let's talk about the Midwest. For the most part, what I'm seeing there is stability. Values are holding steady. Demand's holding steady. There's moderate buyer interest in the Midwest, particularly in the major markets. But one thing I've noticed about the Midwest, when you get out of the major markets and you go into the secondary markets, very quickly the rental rates can drop significantly. And I have found it extremely difficult in many markets, most markets I've looked at in the Midwest, to make anything with construction involved work. You know, if it's costing me $7,500, you know, $6,500 to $7,500 to build a 10x10, and I'm getting $80 a month rent, I can go to other parts of the country, burn the same calories, go on the same loan, and get much higher return on that $6,500 to $7,500 construction build. Now in the Northwest, I don't focus much on the Northwest. I don't really look at deals in the Northwest, so I don't have my hands on the levers and dials quite like I do in other markets. But from what I can see, population growth is strong in the Northwest. And that population growth is pushing up demand and rental rate. From what I can see, it looks like the rents are rising, not over the top, but steady increase over the past 12 months. And the fundamentals look solid. Cap rates look steady. Valuations are holding, if not improving. From what I can tell, and again, I'm not in this market much, but this may be a really good area to focus on older facilities that can be expanded and brought into this century outside major markets and in secondary markets. There appear to be a lot of that product up there. So if you're anywhere close, if you're in California, for example, this may be a real good region to begin to look at. Now, I'm going to lump the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic, you know, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, Washington, D.C., kind of that area. I'm going to lump those together. And from what I can see, I've looked at a lot of deals there, never done a deal there, but I've looked at a lot. From what I can see, demand there is stronger than anywhere else in the country. And it also appears to have the highest barrier of entry than any other place in the country, primarily with land cost and the approval process, particularly the time involved. Rents are high due to low capita per square foot supply. Cap rates are strong and rents are high, particularly in major markets, extremely high. Also, education levels tend to be higher in the Northeast, in the Mid-Atlantic, so the population, the customer base can tend to respond better to downturns in the economy, bumps in the economy, better than probably any other part of the country. And economic demographics are strong in this region. Now, this is a good region to do a deal in if you can do it, but it's going to be particularly challenging for people entering the self-storage space, primarily because it'll be expensive, and to get approvals for if you're doing any construction at all, expansions, conversions, or new construction, the approval process is a lot longer and a lot more expensive. You've got to be well capitalized, from what I can see, to do a deal here. But if you can do it, this is a great region to focus on, particularly if you have patient capital. So here are my tips for expanding your self-storage business in the latter half of 2025 and beyond. Don't focus on regions. Focus on markets with strong rental rates, particularly if there's construction involved. Also, be sure to use online tools and subscription services to find markets with unmet demand. It's never been easier than it is now. Now, secondary markets tend to be very active. Don't be fooled by high cap rates if the rents are low or if the facility is located in a overbuilt trade area. The best news for us as small investors is supply is slowing down. New supply hitting the market is slowing down. Over the past 3 years, new supply hitting the market has averaged nationally 9.4% of the existing inventory per year. But in the trailing 12 months of May, for example, new inventory is under 2.9% of existing inventory. And from what I can tell, that trend is going to continue for at least the next 12 to 18 months. San Antonio saw the highest amount of new product hitting the market, from what I can tell, driving rents down, at least asking rents down 2.3%. And Minneapolis saw a sharp drop in new supply and new inventory in lease-up phase, and asking rents have gone up there. Now, due to the slowdown in new inventory hitting the market and people kind of standing on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to happen with tariffs and interest rates and the economy and bombs dropping, this might be a good time to make a move in the self-storage space. When people are on the sidelines, consider it's a good time for you to get off the sidelines. But be careful. Don't overleverage. Stick to fundamentals. Know the fundamentals. Know how to underwrite. And focus on markets where rents are strong. Now, that's just my personal takeaways from the research I've done over the past 7 to 10 days, trying to figure out where the market is. Thought I'd share it with you. I hope you found some benefit in it. And I thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is a financial analysis tool we use, or at least I use daily almost, to analyze potential self-storage opportunities. You can find out more about the analyzer at storageworldanalyzer.com or Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Hit the Storage World Analyzer tab. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week.